look with me, please. You have your place in John. Now do this for me. Turn over and then hold your place, if you will, in Hebrews chapter number 13. Or stick a paper in there, because we're going to read Hebrews 13, and I'm going to read them right consecutively. Hebrews chapter 13. And then if you go just a little bit further to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We've got three places. I want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning on our threefold shepherd. We preached last Sunday from this passage of Scripture, but I want to share some things with you again. In John chapter 10, will you look with me, please, at verse number... let me read verse number 11. Jesus said, I am the door... Verse number 9, I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I'm come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Now, how is that life possible? How is it that his coming could give us life and life more abundantly? Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life, notice the word, for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, if you will, please. And I want us to look down near the end of that chapter and look at verse number 20. Verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of an everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Note, if you will, please, in this passage of Scripture, he's called the great shepherd. Then over in 1 Peter chapter 5, in 1 Peter chapter 5, I want you to look with me at verse number 4. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd, and he is the chief shepherd. Will you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for this wonderful evening, day to be in the house of God for this Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the choir, for the special music from Chuck, Lord, for the congregational singing. God, I thank you for the sweet spirit of the Holy Ghost of God that's here. In the strong name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Christ over this place today. Our Father, there's none like you. There's no way to compare you to anything or anybody. There's none like the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed Holy Ghost of God, I welcome you here today. I pray you'd purge my mind and heart. God, I pray you remove far from me anything, our Father, that would hinder the work and the flow of the Holy Ghost of God. Our Father, there may be some in this building, many in the media audience who don't know Christ. And I pray, God, that not one thing in me nor anybody else in this place or any demon of hell could hinder the flow of the gospel and the power of God, that souls might be saved and lives changed. I pray, God, for your people, that they might be helped and blessed. And God, I pray now that you'd give me that anointing that'll make the difference. Speak to me and through me and purge my mind and heart. Get all the glory, and I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ has many names throughout the Bible, and he's identified in so many different ways. Here I want to speak to you this morning on the threefold shepherdhood of Christ. He's identified in three different ways. He's the good shepherd, and he is the great shepherd, and he is the chief shepherd. And each one of those have great significance to us this morning. In the first place, he said he is the good shepherd. And I wanted you to note that little word. The good shepherd gives us life for the sheep. And then in the book of Hebrews, he is the great shepherd, and he says that he's been resurrected from the dead and that he's working in us to do the perfect will of God in our life. That is, he gives his life to the sheep. He gave his life for the sheep, but now through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God and the presence of Christ inside of us, he gives his life to the sheep now to be with us through this lifetime. And then one of these days, he's coming back as the chief shepherd. He gave his life for us. He's given his life to us. And one day he's coming back for us to be with him where he's at forevermore. I know that many of you probably watched the funeral of Billy Graham. And we thank the Lord that we all who are living here today were able to live during the time of his ministry. Some of you a little younger, you may not remember actually seeing him or hearing him when he was alive and preaching the great crusades, but many of us did. We were blessed by hearing him and encouraged by him. When I was pastoring down in Florida, I had the privilege of going to Birmingham, Alabama, to one of the Billy Graham schools of evangelism. There were a lot of great preachers from across America there that were teaching. It was kind of a learning situation, school of evangelism for a week. And Dr. Graham was there. And I remembered that they had been building it up about he was coming, he was going to be there and everything else. And when he came in the side door, he came in almost sheepishly. Everybody stood and clapped, and it looked like it embarrassed him. And he was just, it just impressed me so that he just came in and just such a unassuming way, I guess you'd say. And he came in like that. But you know, I listened to Franklin say the other day that he preached about heaven. He trusted Christ as a young man, and he preached about heaven, written books about heaven. But now he was enjoying heaven. But he went on to say something like this about the angels rejoicing and all the other saints rejoicing, everything. And he said, not because he was Billy Graham, but because he was just a saint. He was somebody who was saved and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my dear friend, the welcome that he received in heaven is the welcome that every child of God will receive. The Lord prayed in John 17, Father, I pray that they might be where I am, that they might behold my glory. That's every one of us. And he loved every one of us the same. In this passage of scripture this morning, number one, he's the good shepherd. He gave his life for the sheep. I quote often to you from the book of Romans, where it says, scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God committed his love for us, toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. He paid our sin debt. He carried it on. Now, here are the three identifications of the Lord: the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and chief shepherd. But there's a wonderful parallel in the Old Testament to that. Hold your place in John, but go now back to the book of Psalms, Psalms 22. And here's the parallel. In Psalms 22, we see him as the good shepherd, giving his life for the sheep. In Psalms 23, he is the great shepherd who gives his life to the sheep. And then in Psalms 24, he is the great shepherd or the chief shepherd who shall return one of these days to rule and reign with us for all eternity. Notice, if you will, please, in Psalms 22, and I'm going to take time to read some of these Psalms to you, and because I'm praying that God's word will speak to our hearts this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He gave his life for the sheep, in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. If you've never read this psalm, you'll recognize some of the verses because of what you've read and heard about the Easter account of our Lord and the death and burial and resurrection. Look in Psalms 22, verse 1. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? You remember those words? Our Lord Jesus Christ hung on that cross, and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The next verse explains that. Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, and thou hearest me not, and the night season, and not silent. But thou art holy, thou that inhabit the praises of Israel. Why is it that God turned his back on his own son in that hour? Because Jesus Christ was suffering everything that we would suffer as a lost sinner in the judgment of God and the wrath and the judgment on our sin. You're living in a world today, you may not know Christ. You've never been saved. But the Bible said God makes it rain on the just and the unjust. While you don't know him as Savior, you've never repented of your sin, you have been blessed by the presence of God all the days of your life. Every time the sun rose and set, every time God sent the refreshing shower, every time God caused your garden to grow, every time God let your heart beat, that's a blessing of God, and God being good to you because he's a great, good God. But there's coming a day when you die, you'll be separated from God for all eternity in a place called hell if you don't know Jesus Christ. And he'll turn his back on you. You'll be in utter darkness. And the Bible said there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You'll never, ever feel the presence of God, the warmth of the sun, or the smile of a loved one anymore. You'll never sense the love of a child or a wife or a mom or a dad. You'll be in a place where there's only weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth for all eternity. And Jesus Christ, now on that cross, when he makes his soul an offering for sin, God the Father turns his back away from him because he who knew no sin was made sin for us, and God the Father would not look on him. He was offering himself as a sacrifice. He became sin for us. Read on in this psalm. Oh my God, verse number four, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of people. Let me read on and I'll come back and make comment. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there's none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gape upon me with their mouth and as a raving and a roaring lion. I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like the potsherd. My tongue clave to my jaw, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, and the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, my strength. Hasten thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword and my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. You see so many familiar scenes there. It's hard for us to imagine, even in the portrayal of the crucifixion of Christ, what he went through. We can sense a little bit of the physical suffering, but the spiritual suffering gathered around that throne that day, they were like bulls, they were like dogs, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They had beaten him unmercifully, and he now has experienced dehydration. His hands have been pierced, his feet have been pierced, and the fluids have run from his body. And he cries on that cross, I thirst. And he says in this passage of scripture, he said, I'm dried up like the potsherd. And he said, my tongue cleaves to my jaw. He's dehydrated. There's no moisture in his body anymore. His blood is leaving him. The fluids of his body are leaving him. And he's dying on that cross, giving his life a ransom. What an awful picture here. He gave his life for the sheep. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. The payment on sin, wages, is what you earn. It's what you deserve. And every one of us deserve death. But the Bible said that Christ died for us. He paid that sin debt. And therefore, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He paid that sin debt on the cross. He died as the good shepherd. He gave his life for the sheep. I made reference last week to that idea of him laying his life down as a sacrifice in Genesis chapter 22, where Abraham was to offer his son Isaac. When he came to the place of the altar, he laid his son on that altar, but then God stopped him. And there was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And the Bible said, and Abraham took that ram, and offered him in the stead of his son. That is the sacrificial system of substitution. Jesus Christ died on that cross for you. Every sin you've ever thought, every sin you've ever done, every sin of omission, every sin from the time you were born to your death, he bore in his own body on that tree, and he paid the sin debt. He satisfied all the just demands of God and all the holiness of God. He died on that cross for you. He's the good shepherd. But then look at Psalms 23, if you will. He is not only the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep so that you could be saved, but when you get saved, he doesn't leave you alone. He said, I will never, ever leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, having come to know Christ, you can say this in verse number 1, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I've been saved by the grace of God. He is my Lord, my Savior, and my shepherd. And he said, I have no insufficiencies. I shall not want any good thing, anything that I need, because he loved me and died for me. The Lord God said this of his son, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all in Psalms 22. How shall he not also freely by him give us all things, present tense. Everything you need in this world comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of lights. As the good shepherd, he gave his life for the sheep. But as the great shepherd, he gives his life to the sheep. Notice he said this, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He is the great shepherd. He is with us. He is here to be our shepherd in whatever we go through. Notice in this psalm, he finds the sheep. It was that good shepherd that came to give his life for the sheep, but it was also the good shepherd who sought us, and now he is our Savior. He found us when we were lost. He found us. But not only does he find us, this passage of Scripture said he feeds us. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. The only time that sheep will lie down is when he's full, his rumen is full, and he's satisfied. He'll stand up and eat and eat and eat until his rumen gets full. But when he lies down in green pastures, that means that he has sufficient for that day, and then begins the process of assimilation of that food into his body system. And he said, I'll satisfy you. When you get saved by the grace of God, he doesn't ever leave you. He'll feed you. He'll feed you the Word of God, and he'll feed you all that you need in a Christian life to grow. Thank the Lord for the work of the Good Shepherd, that he feeds us. But I just remind you that in John chapter 10, we read last week, he said he puts forth his sheep and he goes before them. He not only feeds his sheep as the great shepherd, not only does he find them, but he does this, he forgoes them. He said he puts forth his sheep and then he goes before them. Everywhere you go as a Christian, he's already got there. Before you walked in the doctor's office to get the results of that last scan, and the doctor says, I'm sorry, you have cancer. It's already stage 4. Before you knew it, Jesus already knew it, because he was there before you got there. He puts forth his sheep. He goes before them. Before that tragic phone call comes, he's already there. Before you have a need, he's already there. Your Father knows what things you have need of before you ever ask him. He's omniscient. He knows everything. But the Bible says this about the Lord Jesus Christ. He ever lives to make intercession for us. And I believe that Jesus, our great shepherd, that he makes known to the Father everything we need. Before you ever have a need, the supply is already in place. Whatever you need, it's already there. He goes before you. He's made preparation. It's there. We were blessed last Saturday. We had a great service, number one. I believe people worship God. Their singing was awesome. God blessed in an awesome way. And then God blessed in a wonderful way in the offering. And I thank the Lord for that. And we had some financial needs of the highway shepherd previous to that. And I looked on Monday morning at some invoices that I had to pay for the highway shepherd. And I didn't have the money in hand. And we had taken it up, and Trudy went through the processing and then gave me the check. But you know what? I didn't have a worry in the world, because every one of those invoices, I knew that God had already provided, and it was going to be received and shortly in a form of a check, and it was already there. And when I was thinking about that, and I just felt so good about it, God, the Holy Ghost moved on my heart, and He said, "Don't you understand that's the way it's been the whole time? Don't you understand that the check was already written before you had that need? Don't you understand that before the hospital bill was ever received, it was already in glory land? It was already on your account, and you just waiting to get it to you when it really needed it." Can I tell you, my dear friend, anybody here want to give a witness, wave your hand and say, "God's been good to me, and God's been faithful to me, and I knew that this, before I ever knew I had a need, He'd already met the need, and it came right on time." Thank God He's never late, never late. I love that song Karen Peck sang, 4 days late, but right on time. You know why? Because it's already in heaven. It's already reserved for you in heaven, whatever you need, because He is the great shepherd, and He forgoes the sheep. But not only does He forgo the sheep as the great shepherd in this passage of Scripture, it says He fortifies the sheep. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." He's our strength. He's our power. Whatever you got to go through, whatever you face, you say, "I can't do that. I don't know where I could ever do that." But you could if He was with you. You could if He's your strength. You could if you don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear disease. You don't have to fear anything, because He's with you. And His presence, "Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." Don't have time to go into all of that, but can I tell you, He fortifies the sheep. He is our armor. He is our strength. He is our supply. And thank God for that, my dear friend. He fortifies the sheep. He is our Savior. He feeds us. He takes care of us. And my dear friend, He fellowships with us. He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, if I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Wherever you go, He'll be with you. There'll be a time that your wife can't be with you, or your husband can't be with you, or your mom or your dad can't be with you. But Jesus is always with you. He fellowships with the sheep. I remember Brother Avery Rogers several years ago. I shared some things with you last Sunday that he'd shared with me about the sheep. He said, you know, there's a unique situation between the shepherd and the sheep. There's a bonding. Every one of them have a name. And He calls them by name. And He fellowships with them. Where when they go in and out and find pasture, every night the shepherd would go through each one of them's wool. He would check for briars or thorns or parasites. He would examine every one of them every night. If they had a cut or abrasion, He'd pour oil on it. "My cup runneth over," He said, "and Thou anointest my head with oil." He every little scrape, every little twig, He removed it on a daily basis. My dear friend, He dealt with them. Aren't you glad? Why, you say, "Well, Brother Billy, a splinter's not a big deal." It's not a big deal unless it's in your finger. Amen. And you know, you may have big bills coming and this, that, and the other, but if you've got a child and they come running in the house and they've got a splinter, you'll stop everything you're doing. You'll cut the stove off. You'll do everything else, and you'll take time to take that splinter out. Can I tell you, that's how close He is to His sheep. He's fellowships with us. He cares about everything. Everything that bothers you bothers Him. Everything that you care about, He cares about. And that's why He said, "Cast all your cares on Me. I care for you." I'm glad that He fellowships with the sheep. And He fortifies the sheep, and He feeds the sheep. In this passage of Scripture, He said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." He'll be with you. And He said, "I'm coming one of these days to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you might be also." We go to heaven with Him, and we'll be with Him for all eternity. But I've got to hurry on. Look at Psalm 24. He is the good shepherd. He gives his life for the sheep. He is the great shepherd. He gives his life to the sheep. He's with us. He makes intercession all the time for us. He's always here to fellowship with us. He's here to feed us. He's here to forego us and meet all of our needs. But in Psalms 24, notice, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Now, that's not the world you're living in right now. You don't see it that way, do you? It looks to me like we're in a small minority. I was looking back 2016. I had got a little prayer journal from the Billy Graham Association, Evangelistic Association. Some of you got one of those little prayer journals. I was looking back through it. That's when Franklin Graham was going to every state and having a rally and praying that God would send revival in America. And each one of those states, he gave statistics about what percentage of the people believe there's a God, what percentage of the people read their Bible. And I knew it. But it's hard to see it when you sit on paper. There's a very small percentage of people in any state of the union that even believe there's a God. There's a small percentage of people in every state in the union that read their Bible, even those who name the name of Christ. It's just a very small remnant of America. It's just a small amount. But now one of these days, it'll be different. One of these days in what we call the millennial reign of Christ, he'll rule and reign over this whole earth. And in this passage of Scripture, we're looking ahead. He said, one of these days, that chief shepherd is coming, and he'll give unto you a crown of life that fades not away. There's one thing that keeps you going if you've ever read the Bible, and it's so clear. We're on the winning side. Now, we didn't win last night. Me and Brad didn't. We didn't have nothing to do with it. But we did win the other day, the time before. So that's, yeah. But anyhow, I remember several years ago, I couldn't watch I think it was in the tournament. I wasn't where I could watch it. And we taped it on what's a big square, a VHS, one of those things. And I already knew who won. And I watched that game and from the get-go. And you know, I got right into it in the beginning, just kind of like it was all new to me. I was rejoicing. Boy, they were doing good. It might have been even back when Michael Jordan and all of them were playing. I can't remember. But we were doing good, and all of a sudden, we do what Roy does sometime. Everything went haywire. Blowed a big lead, and man, they took the lead, and I was down and all. And then I said, well, wait a minute. I already know who's going to win. And so it was just different. Most time I'd been done, got up, walked outside. I'd been to the bathroom, washed my face two or three times. I'd been done, went out, you know, throwed something somewhere where no one would see it. I'd do none of those things. I just sat there and just grinned. I mean, every time whoever it was, they were playing and make a basket, the whole crowd erupted. I said, well, y'all just wait. You just wait. Just wait. I knew what was coming. And sure enough, it wasn't long. The tide turned to come back right there near the end. They won it. Carolina won it. But I already knew it. I was glad, but I already knew it. You know what I've done? I read this book. And it looks like we're losing sometime. Looks like the tide is against us all the way. But praise God, I done read the end of the book. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. Thank God. He's the chief shepherd. Don't you ever forget that. He is the chief shepherd. He's in control. He knows exactly what's going on. You may get nervous, but he doesn't ever get nervous. You may get discouraged, but he doesn't ever get discouraged. My dear friend, he's not a bit worried about this world. Everything's well in hand. Let me go ahead and read the rest of this before we run out of time. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek his face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory, Selah. He is the chief shepherd. Thank God he's coming one of these days as King of kings and Lord of lords. Every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's going to happen just as sure as I'm standing here. I don't care what goes on, what the news says, what it looks like today. I already know who's going to win. Thank God we're going to win because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the chief shepherd. My dear friend, what an encouragement to know what he did for me at Calvary, to experience salvation, to know that he is the great shepherd. He gives his life right now for me. It's all about me. He's all about you. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to experience his blessing and his goodness on us. And then thank God he is the chief shepherd. And when he shall appear, there'll be a crown of glory for those who know him as Savior and Lord. Can I tell you, it's already in history. It's in his story what's fixing to happen. It's just going to unfold just like he said it was. I don't know about you, but there's things happening, not only the negative things, but there's some positive things happening. Not one person in the political arena, not one person from a social standpoint would ever have believed that in our lifetime that the American embassy would be located in what our president says is the true capital of Israel, Jerusalem. My dear friend, God, the Holy Ghost, is at work, working with people who don't even know he's working with them. But he's got to be there because it's in the book of Revelation. And my dear friend, it's going to be in place. Can I tell you, I don't know if you saw the funeral or not, but you know what? I can't remember the name, the older daughter, or not the oldest daughter, but Ann Grand Lotz. She said she got to thinking about significance. Somebody else told me about the significance of 99. It was April of, I think, Pope. But at any rate, that date when Billy Graham died, that's the days that the Jews read about Moses and the death of Moses. And at the death of Moses, Joshua comes on the scene. That's the name for Jesus in the New Testament. He's the one who's going to escort them into the promised land. And she said, I really believe that God is just letting us be aware of the fact that Moses is dead. And he said that in Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. But he said, I'm come to give you the land now. I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart that the pages are getting around close to the end. Jesus Christ is coming again. And when he comes, he's coming as the chief shepherd. Amen. He's in control. Thank God for that. Do you know him as your Savior this morning? What really matters is that you know him as your Savior. If you're saved by the grace of God, that doesn't mean you won't have problems. It just means he'll be there to help you solve your problem. Doesn't mean you won't go through battles. It just means he'll be there to help you in your battles if you're a Christian. Doesn't mean that you won't ever have to bury a loved one. But you can be like what the Bible said, you don't have to sorrow as those who have no hope. We weep over them. That's a natural thing. But thank God we can say this, we'll see them again because they knew Christ and we know Christ. But do you know Christ? I don't mean if you're a member of this church, anybody else's church, but have you ever been saved by the grace of God? Will you bow your heads in prayer? He is the good shepherd. He gave his life for the sheep. And he said this, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I must bring. I really believe that includes me and you. I believe it was not just those who were living in that day that he was giving that word to, but us. We are the part of those other sheep that he must bring. You can be saved today. You can know Christ as your Savior today in the media audience or in this building. It's a free gift. It's offered freely. It's a matter of you receiving him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And we're saved, the Bible said, not by might, not by our own will, not by might, but by the power of God. He'll give you power. He'll give you everlasting life. If you'll just come to him and trust him, right now in the building, in the media audience, would you trust him? Would you turn to him by faith and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? I'd love to pray with you here in the building. If there's some men, ladies, there are dear ladies and men here who'd pray with you. If I can help you, I'd do that. But you ought to make sure you're saved today. I believe, number one, there's a step between you and death. You never know when you're going to die. But also, Jesus Christ is coming again. And those who've heard the gospel will never, ever have another chance to be saved. This may be your last chance today. I invite you now to trust Christ. I don't know what God's been dealing with you about, but I'd encourage you to take that step of faith today to do what He'd have you to do. Now, Lord, these are your people. And our Father, this is your church. And God, I've tried to be your messenger today. I pray the Holy Ghost of God would deal with hearts and draw them by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. I pray they know the Good Shepherd. They know the one who loved them and died for them. And now, Father, then they'd fellowship with you as a great shepherd. You'll never, ever leave us. And wherever we go, you go before us. You're always with us. Yea, if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear any evil because you're with us. God, we believe that with all of our heart. And God, we thank you that one of these days you're coming as the chief shepherd. And God, I thank you that, Lord, you've got everything well in hand. God, I pray now that God, a boy, a girl, a man, a woman, somebody would trust Christ as their Savior. While we have our heads bowed, our eyes are closed, especially here in the auditorium, would you receive Christ as your Savior? Would you simply ask Him to come in? By faith, believe in it, ask Him to save you right now. I've been praying this week that God would save somebody here or in the media audience. I pray that God would help God's people and encourage you. You're going to face a lot of things, financial burdens that you can't take care of, physical problems that you can't take care of. My heart broke as I heard Brother Ralph Sexton. God's used him all across this nation, led tours over 50-something times to Israel. But his wife is bedfast. She's been in the bed now for a year. The doctors told him nothing else they can do. He said, I can't do anything but take a little water back and forth. He said, I feel so helpless. I know how it's an awful thing to feel that way. And I can tell you, you can do something about your salvation right now by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do it, but He can save you. He'll give you everlasting life. And you've got needs and burdens, Christ, to meet those needs. Let me encourage you to come. Let's stand together. And as Brother Brad sings or whoever's going to sing this morning, you just obey Christ. If I can meet you here at the front and pray with you, I want to do that. Whatever your need is, you come to get around this altar. Obey Christ. Maybe God's been leading you to unite with this church by membership. We invite you to come. Whatever God's leading you to do, just obey Him. I invite you to come gather around this old-fashioned altar. Thank Him for who He is and accept Him as your Savior if you don't know Him. God bless you as you come right now.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us thine we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Hear, O hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to Thee. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to Thee.
While we have our heads bowed for just a moment, the music plays. I wonder if there's a person in here who'd say to me, Brother Billy, if I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. I don't know that I'm saved. And I want you to pray for me. I say again what I say so often, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want to pray. I'd hate to think that I was able to stand and preach this morning, and for some reason there was somebody in here that's lost. And God, then we didn't use everything we had, every opportunity to help you to know Christ. So if you're here this morning and you say, Brother Bill, I want to be saved. I don't want to die and go to hell, but I just couldn't step out. But will you please pray for me? I promise you I'll do that. I promise you I won't come to you. But if you want to talk to me, I'll do it. But would you slip your hand up, a man or woman, boy or girl, anybody in the building? If I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven, but preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm looking across the building. I don't see a hand anywhere. That means that everybody in this building, if Jesus were to come, if that chief shepherd would come, that you'd get to go to heaven because you're saved. I hope that's true. I wonder this morning if you're here this morning. He is the great shepherd. He's here with you. But even as he's real to us, we face things sometimes that it's just so hard. That's why I said, to pray one for another. To edify and encourage one another. And I want to pray with you. I want to encourage you. If you're here and you're saved, you're going through something right now and you say, Brother Bill, I just need help of God's people to pray. Nobody will see your hand but me and the Lord, but I want to pray for you right now. Would you raise your hand? You're a Christian. Oh, so many hands, friends. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, I can't see hearts, but you can see hearts. God, I've tried to obey you this morning. Maybe somebody in the media audience trusted Christ. I pray, God, that they let us know at the church if they did. I pray, God, for all this group here this morning. I didn't see a hand, Lord. God, if there was somebody who for some reason just didn't raise their hand, I pray, God, for Holy Ghost and conviction to be on them. And God, that they'll find rest in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But Lord, you saw not only the hands, but the hearts of all so many of God's people. Father, I pray, God, that you'd be real to them and close to them. I know, our Father, that every person in the Bible went through times of trial and testing, dark days, and it seemed the night the sun would never shine again. But you said weeping might endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. And God, I pray you'd help them as we bear one another's burdens right now. As we pray one for another, I pray, God, that you'd bless. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.